This is a podcast from BBC Radio's news and sports station,
5Live.
To find out more about 5Live and its sister service, 5Live Sports Extra, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5Live.
Hello, Andrew Collins.
Hello.
OK, at number 10 this week, Amazing Grace.
Seen it. Very good indeed. Highly, excellently tooled British costume drama about the abolition of slavery, which is obviously being celebrated at this moment in our lives.
At number 9, The Hills Have Eyes 2.
Yes, only go and see this if you enjoyed the remake of The Hills Have Eyes 1, which was done in a slightly more gory and sort of gaudy way than the original 70s classic.
TMNT at number 8. Is that one of your favourites?
I haven't seen this, but I know what it means. It means Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, doesn't it? And they're all done in special animation now. They're not real anymore.
Premonition at number 7.
Yes, this is exciting if you like Nip Tuck, which I do on the television, because Julian McMahon, the Australian actor, appears in this as a husband who dies and then comes back. And I'm not giving the end away. That happens at the beginning. Sandra Bullock gets very confused indeed. Number 6.
So logic in these countdowns. Yes. And that'll be The Messenger.
That is The Messengers, and The Messengers is new in the chart this week. I haven't seen it, but I know it's a farm-based paranormal horror story in which a family is torn apart by suspicion, mayhem and murder. If you fancy that.
Every time you hear spontaneous applause, chances are it'll be a few runs for Ireland.
That's what I'll assume.
If it gets anywhere near a boundary, thunderous applause. Meet the Robinsons at 5.
Yes, doing all right in the kids' holidays, but I think kids deserve better from computer animation. This is a Disney film, and it's a sort of time travel thing with kids in it, but I think they deserve better.
Sunshine at 4.
Well, it was my film of the week last week, and really disappointing to see it go in at 4. This is Danny Boyle, who made Trainspotting, and it's his sci-fi movie, based on all the sci-fi movies that he loved as a kid, 2001.
Has it opened everywhere, Andrew?
Yeah, and going in at number 4, I mean, there is an entry that's higher than it, and Mr Bean's doing very well, as we'll find out in a minute. But Sunshine really should have opened bigger, but I think Bank Holiday, people didn't want to go inside to see a film about the sun.
Lots of Oiled Men in Pouches at number 3. That'll be 300.
That's 300. And if you liked Sin City, which was based on Frank Miller's graphic novel, then you might like this, if you like Men in Loincloths.
Blades of Glory at number 2.
Yeah, surprisingly good. Straight in at number 2, it's Will Ferrell comedy about ice skating, which I liked much more than I thought I would. And in fact, other reviewers seem to be thinking the same thing, so no wonder it's gone in at 2.
And the UK's number 1. This will either thrill you or depress you. Mr Bean's Holiday.
Well, in a way, I'd kind of rather that the kids went to see this than go and see a substandard computer animation, but it is Mr Bean. He's back. He's in France. If you think the idea of Mr Bean eating a large langoustine is funny, then you might like it.
That's the box office top 10. What of the new releases, what are you going to start with, Andy?
We'll start with Wild Hogs, because, you know, I've just been to see it this very morning. So it's fresh in my mind. And this is a midlife crisis comedy in the vein of City Slickers. Have you had a midlife crisis, Simon?
Yet to reach it, Andrew.
Right, well, when you do, you might do what these men do in this film, which is get on a big motorbike and do a cross-country trip, which will be obviously shorter in this country, or the one that I'm in now, but not for Americans, of course. This is John Travolta, Tim Allen, William H. Macy and Martin Lawrence. And they get on their bikes and go from one place to the sea, of course, and they get in some trouble in New Mexico where another biker gang attack them. And it's literally City Slickers on two wheels, and not as good, I would say. But nice cast. I think it's quite a poor script, this. It's not a bad idea. You can see why they might have signed on to do it, because the actors get the chance to literally do what their characters do, which is get on a motorbike and drive it. Well, there is a weird borderline homophobia to this film, which I found slightly distasteful. You've got four men, three of them are married, one of them wants to go out with women, and they go off and they kind of bond in an almost homoerotic way, and then immediately anyone suggests that they might be gay, they get, oh no, oh absolutely not, no, I'm totally not gay, as if being gay is a bad thing. I found this quite strange in what is basically a family comedy. I think it's a 2A certificate, but nevertheless, slapstick is the order of the day here. Try and imagine what happens in this scene, because they're in the countryside and there's a local custom where you have to go and slap a bull. So there's this angry bull in a pen and they go, yeah, we can do that because we're free and we're not suburban. So John Travolta gets in and he slaps the bull on the bottom and nothing happens. Yes. He climbs out. And what do you think happens next when Martin Lawrence and William H. Macy get in? Well, obviously, the bull suddenly gets angry and chases them. So you've got actual scenes where a bull is chasing a man and flipping him in the air on his horns. It's like a kid's cartoon.
So this would appeal to who? Andrew.
Well, I was surrounded by younger people than myself in the cinema where I saw it this morning, and they were laughing at the slapstick. So I suppose I should get off my high horse, as it were, shouldn't I?
Lives of Others has been taking an awful lot of attention.
Yes.
It also has an Oscar. And some wonderful reviews have been reading in the last few days. What did you make of this?
Well, I'm going to have to give you an exclusive here. It's German. I tell you this only because if you looked at the posters or saw the trailer, there is no clue that it might not be an English-speaking film, and it's not. And it's almost as if the people who want us to go and see it, and they really do, don't want to ruin it by telling us that it's not in English. The trailer has no dialogue in it. The posters all say Academy Award winner, which it is, but it doesn't say that it was best foreign language film, which is very strange, I think, because people should go and see it, and they shouldn't be put off. But at the same time, I think we've grown up enough to handle it. It's set in the mid-80s in East Germany, before the wall goes down, and it's about a Stasi officer who basically bugs, as in sits above them with headphones on, listening to Bohemian people, a Bohemian couple who are under suspicion by the party with a capital P, and you've got a handsome playwright and his lovely girlfriend who's an actress, and they're under suspicion because they're a little bit Bohemian. And what happens, I won't tell you what happens exactly, but he finds a spark of humanity in himself. Now, those who are critical of the film have said that it is slightly unrealistic in that the Stasi officers who operated during the Cold War in East Germany weren't the kind of people to have a spark of humanity at all, and were rather cold and nasty and tortured people. So it depends whether you think that that's a problem or not. Do you? I don't know.
I can understand maybe why they marketed it as an English film, given the fact that so many people seem to essentially not want to go and see a movie which has got subtitles.
Yeah, I agree that it's a shame that people don't want to go and see it, but at the same time, you know, if you look at the box office for last year, Volver, the Pedro Almodovar film, did really well at the box office. Pan's Labyrinth did very well at the box office. I'll mention that again in a moment. And, you know, people do go and see these films. It's just that I think selling it as a non-foreign film is slightly misleading, isn't it? What if they sit in the cinema and go, hang on a minute, they're speaking German, and then walk out and demand their money back? That's not a good thing for anyone, is it?
But the fact that it won Best Foreign Language Oscar over Pan's Labyrinth.
Over Pan's Labyrinth. And the man who is normally sitting here, Mark Kermode, was beside himself, I understand.
Nothing changes.
No, but he loves Pan's Labyrinth to the point of almost apoplexy. And I suppose he felt that it was robbed. Certainly Pan's Labyrinth was the favourite to win. And this is a very gloomy, quite low-budget film. It's very grey, obviously, which suits the period and the place. And I think it's a really fantastic drama. It's almost a Hitchcockian thriller at times, but also throws in a bit of history as well. And Pan's Labyrinth has some things wrong with it. There's something you won't hear your normal film reviewer say on air.
No, I don't think that's been said for quite a few weeks. But the critics who really did like this film, Andrew, I was reading one of them this morning, suggesting actually it was better than The Departed. And actually, this film, The Lives of Others, should be considered the film of the year, or maybe, you know, certainly up there.
Yeah, I don't see why not. This is the unfortunate thing. It's great that foreign films are sort of seen and they're more and more available on DVD, and that's a great thing if you've got the disposable income. But at the same time, they're still ghettoised, aren't they? And Pan's Labyrinth was actually nominated for normal awards at the Oscars, and The Lives of Others should have had the same treatment, I think. It's better than Pan's Labyrinth.
Tom in Leeds on this email says, the reason Sunshine didn't open very well is because it's the most awful film I've ever seen. It is woeful. I can't remember ever seeing a less dramatic film with such one-dimensional characters with such a lack of anything. I mean, far be it from me to criticise a listener, but that's rubbish.
Well, that, I disagree with that, but at the same time, that person did pay their money and therefore added to its box office take. So I would imagine in the first weekend, before people have told other people whether they liked it or not, it would have done better than four. But as I say, it's about the sun, and there's a real one out here that I think people would rather spend time with.
What else is out this week?
Can I just mention that I met and interviewed the director of The Lives of Others this week, who's called Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck, and he's 6 foot nine.
Just do that again.
Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck. I think he's an aristocrat of some kind, and he's 6 foot nine.
Should be.
Can you imagine?
And did he impress you?
He was sitting down when I was talking to him, but then he got up at the end. It was quite a shock.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving on now to Shooter, which sounds like it might be some kind of Cockney Guy Ritchie thing, but it's actually an American film, and it's directed by Antoine Fuqua, who directed Training Day, which I didn't like very much, but did get an Oscar for Denzel Washington because he played somebody nasty in it, and people were quite impressed by that. This one stars Mark Wahlberg, who I was very fond of, and I thought was about one of the best things in The Departed, which was otherwise quite disappointing. And if you've seen the trailer, you'll know...
You mean the movie that just got best film Oscar?
It wasn't the best film, though. He was the man who should have got an Oscar in previous years and got it for that. You know, Martin Scorsese got a late Oscar for a different, for the wrong film. So Mark Wahlberg in this, he's one of these guys who's a sharp shot. He's a Marine. You see him on in Africa at the beginning, being abandoned, left out there, and he gets slightly disgruntled and he leaves the Marines and he disappears up to the mountains to grow a beard and to spend more time with his guns and his lovely old dog. And you'll guess what happens next. The government need him to come back and do one last job. Everybody who retires in film always has to come back and do one last job, don't they?
That's true.
When you retire, which I hope never happens, if you do, they'll say, come back and do one last show, and it'll be like a Hollywood movie. One last show, that's one last show, then I'm retiring. So anyway, he gets recruited by Danny Glover, who's a retired colonel.
Those kind of voices always go down rather well. I mean, if you've got a name, Andrew, like Bob Lee Swagger, and you come in with some kind of normal voice, it's going to be kind of disappointing. That's presumably what you have to do.
Yeah.
When you spoke to Max von Spiegeldorfer, or whatever his name was, I bet he didn't have a kind of a useless, weedy voice.
He's a German who was Oxford educated and spent some time in New York. He had a better English accent than mine. So, yeah, he's quite an impressive figure all around. Looked a bit like David Cameron, kind of tall. David Cameron. I'll stop talking about him, shall I? I was quite impressed by him, though.
Absolutely, you were quite taken by him. So who's gonna be attracted to this film?
Well, Shooter is what it is. It's like a liberal Rambo, because this guy, basically, he gets tricked by the government into doing something, which means he has to go off the grid, on the run, as these people always do. And so the whole government are out to get him, and he has to find his way to beat the government, basically. And so it's sort of not quite anti-Bush, specifically, but there's a character in it who is quite clearly supposed to be Dick Cheney, although it never says he is, because he likes going out shooting at the weekends, and he looks a bit like him.
The idea of a liberal Rambo makes it worth seeing just on that recommendation alone.
I would recommend you go and see it if you like guns. Oh, cheering. Unknown, it's called, and it's probably one of the cheaper of the films, but it's actually not bad at all. I've read some bad reviews of it. We're talking about a high-concept film. Five men wake up in a deserted warehouse. They're locked in. They don't know how they got there. They don't know who's good, who's bad, or who they are, because they've lost their memory due to a chemical spill. So that's the setup of the film, and from there on they find out, and there's double crossing and various other stuff, and there's one gun. And really, that is a good start to a film, I think, don't you?
And what kind of certificate is this? Who's this pitched at?
It's not too violent. It's pitched at teenagers, really. But I enjoyed it, and I'm an adult. It's got a good cast, actually. Not a massive name cast, but Jim Caviezel is in it, who recently seen on television in the horror movie Passion of the Christ, and he played Jesus
right. Does he come out of this film in one piece?
Slightly better, yeah. You can see him because he's got shorter hair. Joe Pantoliano is in it, who played Ralphie on The Sopranos. You'll be glad to see him if you like The Sopranos. Barry Pepper and Greg Kinnear. So it's not a bad cast. And it's one of those films, it's a bit like Saw. I don't know if you saw Saw, but that was a kind of gory horror version of this.
Yes.
This is not a gory horror version. It's much more psychological. It reminds you a bit of Reservoir Dogs, which is also in a warehouse. And I found it much better than I expected. Ooh, cheering again.
Yes, your movie of the week, Andrew?
I think movie of the week has to be The Lives of Others, which is better than Pan's Labyrinth.
Go see it.
Yeah.
Remember, it's in German, and
it's
don't walk
German.
Out when other people do.
No.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.